Grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the past Lenten season, we have been talking about and considering the miracles of the Lenten season. On Ash Wednesday, we heard about 3 hours of darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And on subsequent Wednesdays, we considered the earthquakes. We considered the tearing of the curtain in the temple. We considered the splitting of rocks that leave fissures that are still visible today. We considered the faith of the Roman soldiers. And last Friday night, we considered that the miracle of Good Friday was God's love for us. What a miracle that is. Well, the gospel lesson for today is pretty clear about what the miracle is. The miracle today is Christ rising from the dead. Our text says that early on the second day of the week, which was a Sunday in those days, two women, two Marys, went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And when they got there, they found an angel sitting on the stone that covered the opening. And they were a little bit afraid. In fact, the guards who had been placed there were so afraid that they were like dead men, which probably means they had passed out. And the angel says to the two women, "I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. But he's not here. He's risen. Now I would like you to go to his disciples and tell them and share that joy with him." And they share that same joy with us today. And then on their way, they meet Jesus and they recognize him and they fall at his feet and worship him. And later that day, we read in other texts about two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes along and they don't recognize him, and yet they take him home for dinner that night, and when he finally breaks bread, it is then that they recognize Jesus as the risen Savior. What good news that is for us today. Christ has risen. What joy that was for the women. What joy that was for the disciples. And what joy it is for us as we celebrate this Easter Sunday. We celebrate Christ's victory over death and over Satan. So concerning that miracle today, I would like to consider three questions. What? So what? And now what? We've already answered the first question, what? Christ is risen. So what is another question that we might ask. Some people might say, well, sure, I know he's risen, but so what? Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians an answer to that. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The answer to that question, so what, is really simple. Christ rose that Sunday morning, and those who believe in him have eternal life. It's just that simple. So that leaves us with the question, now what? Now what are we supposed to do? Christ has risen. How does that impact your life? What are we supposed to do about that? What are we supposed to do tomorrow morning when we get up and start a new week? How are we supposed to respond to that event that happened some 2,000 years ago? I believe the answer to that question is found in the epistle lesson for today. I'm going to read it, and I'm trying to emphasize the points that I think make the answer, and then we'll look at each individual verse and phrase individually. So Paul is writing to the Colossians. He says, "Since you became alive again, so to speak, when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures and joys of heaven, where he, Jesus, sits beside God in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thought. Don't spend your time worrying about earthly things. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead person does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and with God. And when Christ is our real life and comes back again, you will have to shine with him and share in all his glories. Let's look a little more closely at each one of the individual verses here. In the first sentence, Paul kind of introduces his premise. He says, since you became alive when Christ arose from the dead, well, we are already alive. What Paul is saying is that we became alive to eternal life. In other places, we know that Paul says the wages of sin is death. And it means because of our sinful nature, we all will end up dying at some point. But just as Christ rose again, those who believe will have life again after death. Because Christ rose, there is eternal life for all believers. And now we come to Paul's answer, as I see it, to that question of now what? He says, since you became alive again when Christ arose from the dead, now set your sights on the rich treasures of the joy of heaven. But wait a minute, Paul. We're wanting to know, what do we do tomorrow? What do we do this afternoon? What do we do tomorrow morning? Am I supposed to change my investments? Am I supposed to buy that car? Am I supposed to get a new job? What is it that you want me to do today and tomorrow? Our problem is that we tend to think in terms of this earthly life, and what are we supposed to do a short distance in front of us? But Paul wants us to be thinking about more important and heavenly matters. And then he goes on to say, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend time worrying about earthly things. But Paul, you would say, I have bills to pay. I have a job to do. I have a family to take care of. I can't be just thinking about heaven all the time. Paul is not saying that we should ignore the problems of today or not take care of our lives. But he's rather saying it's better if our thoughts are in the direction of heaven. It is better to be following God's commands. It is better to live a life as a child of God, because that will make all of those other things fall into place. And then he goes on with another statement. He says, you should have as little desire for this world as a dead person. Your real life is not here on earth. It is in heaven with Christ. Well, that almost seems like it's getting worse. I mean, how can we do all of those things? It's true, a person who has died really doesn't have any desire for this world. My mother-in-law is 99 years old and has lots of physical problems, and she has said on more than one occasion, I'm ready to go. She has no desire to stay in this world. And I suspect that all of us at some point come to realize that. We look at the world and we look at our life and we say, I can't win. And so Paul really wants us not to ignore the world, not to hate the world, but certainly follow Christ and his commandments, so that our life will ultimately reflect that of our destination in heaven. And when Christ, Paul goes on, and when Christ, who is our life, comes back again, you will shine with him and share all his glories. Well, that's something for us to think about. Paul doesn't consider us to be residents of this world, but rather aliens, rather sojourners, people who are spending some time here. But this is not our ultimate home. So what is it that Paul wants us to do? What is it that we are supposed to do this morning as we read these texts? Well, first of all, I think Paul wants us to recognize that we spend too much time focusing on the problems of this broken and sinful world. He would like to have us confess our sins and to receive forgiveness. He wants us to live a life that's pleasing to God. He wants us to follow Jesus' words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus wants a closer relationship with each one of us. He wants us to care for others. He wants us to clothe the naked and visit the sick and feed the hungry. He wants us to eliminate the sinful behaviors from our lives, and he wants us to cultivate Christian virtues. Jesus simply wants us to live in a manner that's pleasing to God. But you might say, at least I certainly do, try as I might, I can't do all those things. I understand. None of us can. We don't get it right all of the time. We don't get it right a lot of the time. But let me remind you that we are here today to celebrate Christ's resurrection. We remember the reason why Christ died in the first place. And that is why we come to the table of the Lord today. We come to receive bread and wine. We come to receive God's forgiveness. We come here to receive the newness of life that is offered in that sacrament. And that is where we find the strength to put our focus on heaven, to think about those heavenly things that Paul talks about. That is when we remember that we can start over again every day, every week, every year. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Today we receive a fresh start on our way to heaven. And while we struggle here with disappointments and broken things in this world, we remember that our ultimate goal is not this world, but the next. And so today we remember that because Christ is risen, we will someday follow him to heaven, into paradise, and shine with him, and share with him in all his glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.